God is awesome. His Spirit has been at work for hundreds, thousands of years in this world. And He alone has the power to change people. Pentecost Sunday, what happened on Pentecost Sunday? Acts chapter 1 and 2. The Holy Spirit was poured out amongst the disciples, on the disciples. The church was born. Who here has experienced the power of the Holy Spirit on their lives? Awesome. It's a remarkable thing. It's an amazing thing. It's a miraculous thing to experience the closeness of God's Spirit, to be filled up by His Spirit, to witness the power of God. This morning I want to ask you the question, why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Perhaps a number of reasons come to your mind right away. Or perhaps you're wondering, why is it that we need the Holy Spirit as His people? But one thing is absolute. Jesus desires to see His kingdom grow, to see the kingdom of God go forth in this world. Jesus desires to see people come to Him, confessing their sins, asking for forgiveness, to receive His forgiveness, His love, His grace, to receive salvation, everlasting, eternal life, to enter into God's kingdom, His eternal kingdom. Jesus wants to see people grow, both in their personal faith, and also to see His church grow. Jesus wants to see the work of the church impact this world in a radical, powerful way. But the power for this to happen is not found in human effort, but the Spirit effort, the power of the Holy Spirit. That is why we need the Holy Spirit. It was no different on that historic day when the church was born. Jesus knows this as well. He knows the weakness of our human flesh. We're imperfect, and that we need help to do His work. You agree with that? Jesus tells this to His disciples in Acts chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 4 to 8. If you didn't bring your Bible, I have it up on some slides there, Arturo, if you want to pull them up. 4 to 8. And while staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you heard from Me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the end of the earth. Jesus promised His disciples, His followers, that they will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be His what? Witnesses. Friends, it's no different today. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to be His witnesses. John chapter 14, verses 5 to 17, Jesus says, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. When we love Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we keep his commandments. His commandment is love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. When we accept Jesus as the Lord of our lives, our personal Savior, he sends us another helper. Who is this helper? The Holy Spirit. Not a temporary helper, but one to be with us forever. Praise the Lord. The Greek word for helper, parakletos, that Jesus uses here is translated not only as helper, but listen to this, but also as advocate, intercessor, and mediator. The Holy Spirit helps us in so many ways to live for God. Think about it. To be victorious in our Christian walk. Jesus says the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, because they neither see him nor know him. But Jesus tells us, his disciples, we know him because we know Jesus Christ, the living Son of God. When we meet Jesus and accept him into our lives, God's Holy Spirit does not visit us or speak to us here or there, but the Holy Spirit is with us at all times, actually dwelling within you. And this is something we need to be aware of. As a follower of Christ, are you aware that the Holy Spirit lives in you? At all times? So easily we forget, neglect, or ignore the fact that the Spirit is with us. We may even resist the Holy Spirit. And we do resist the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit is there. Are you aware? Have you ever had a time when you've been speaking to someone, perhaps about God, and some scripture comes to mind? A verse that maybe you hadn't really memorized, but just comes to mind? Or a time that you've been about to do something and a voice inside of you says, this is wrong, and you're convicted of sin? Or perhaps you've had a time when you felt something inside of you warn of danger, or that something's just off. Or something inside of you urging you to do something or say something to a specific person or stranger. Friends, that's the Holy Spirit in you. Are you aware of the Spirit, the living Spirit of God in you? Or are you too busy with yourself? The things going around in your life that you ignore the Spirit's leading and prompting and voice within you. God is at work within you and through you. The Spirit teaches us. John chapter 14, verse 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Jesus' words ring with such truth here. Have you ever had a time when you've been reading the Bible, God's Word, and you stop at a certain passage because you're not able to grasp its meaning? And you start reading it again, and after a few readings, it suddenly clicks, it makes sense? Friends, that's the Holy Spirit teaching you. Or a time that you've read a familiar Bible spot many times before, and suddenly that familiar verse opens up in a new living way in your life at that specific moment. Friends, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, teaching you. Holy Spirit opens up God's living word to us. Jesus literally tells us that the Holy Spirit is a teacher of all things. Not just some things or these things, but all things. That's a tremendous source of wisdom and knowledge. The Holy Spirit is the one who reminds us, helps us remember what Jesus has taught us. It's pretty awesome. It's miraculous. But the thing is, we need to trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do you doubt or do you trust the Holy Spirit within you? When we hear His voice in us, we need to trust that voice, have faith, and act on it. I've had many circumstances, I know you probably have as well, where I've been in a situation, I felt the Holy Spirit urging me to do something or say something. And out of fear, out of doubt, I don't act. Who can relate with this? I'm glad I'm not the only one putting up my hand. And then afterwards, I think, why did I act? And I regret it. We need to trust in the words that Jesus has spoken to us regarding the Holy Spirit and walk in faith in that. It takes so much pressure off of us as well. How many of you have heard the word evangelism? I think we all have. Does that word intimidate you? Sometimes. There was a time when my wife and I, we were at Bible school in Finland. Tim, were you there when we had to go evangelize at the train station in Helsinki? Yeah, I think you left before that, right? But we went to this train station in the middle of downtown Helsinki, and this was part of our course. I can't remember what course it was. I can't remember. Anyways, it was part of our course to go talk to complete strangers there and you know, invite them to church and share our testimonies with them. And I was freaked out. I was scared, man. I couldn't talk to a single person. I kind of, you know, hung out behind Lisa there, and you know, she did the talking. She's the more talkative one out of the two of us, and kind of nodded and said a few words, but there wasn't a single person I approached on my own. Right? I was freaked out. But it's because I put so much pressure on myself. I let fear rule my emotions, doubt. I thought it was up to me to tell each person that they were a sinner, that they needed to be convicted of their sins, to repent and turn to Jesus. And I was afraid that I would be rejected for this. I put it all down to my own effort, my own strength. But you know what God's word tells us? What Jesus tells us? John chapter 16, verses 8 to 9. And when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts people of their sins. It's not our job to do this and make this happen. I used to put so much pressure on myself in my early days of preaching too, that I really need to get down into people's hearts and make them feel convicted that they will turn to Jesus. But how foolish is that? How much pressure is that to put on myself? And how prideful and arrogant is that of myself to think that in my strength, my own abilities, I could do this? No. I cannot. It's not because of me or anything alone or what I can say or do. It's the Holy Spirit of at work, the power of God, the message of the cross and the gospel. Yes, we do our part. We testify, speak truth, and tell others about the good news that is found in Jesus Christ. But it's the Holy Spirit, the living Spirit of God, that works in people's hearts, that convicts them of their sin, and makes them aware that they need a Savior. We simply share our story and tell them about Jesus and what he's done in our lives. He convicts. He speaks to the tender parts of a person's heart. And it relieves so much pressure off of ourselves when we realize this and just simply do our part. If the person doesn't respond to Jesus, it's not our fault. We haven't failed somehow. The person is rejecting Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that person is simply hardening their heart towards the Holy Spirit. We just do our part. We do our part by opening our mouth, and the Holy Spirit does his part in the hearts of the people. John 16, verses 13 to 14 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. You see, Jesus directs us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will declare to us what he hears from Jesus. And this is so important for us to realize. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to lead us. Jesus leads us through his Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit of God. We need this as a church, as his people, in our personal lives, in our families, in every aspect. We need the direction of the Holy Spirit. And we need to allow ourselves to be directed by the Holy Spirit and not ignore it and not resist it. Life in the Spirit. We need to live life in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God that unites us. We all partake of the one true Spirit of God. And we need to have unity in that Spirit. Since the Spirit is one, we are made one. He unites people of all nations, ethnicities, social classes that would otherwise divide us. He unites us, and this empowers us to be united. And we need to be a people empowered by the Spirit. We're made to drink of one Spirit. There's been an outpouring of God's Spirit upon his people. And there is power in that. God's power. You see, we are weak on our own. We are weak, and we need to go to God because 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 to 11 says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take away my thorn in the flesh, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit here. We need to realize that there is power in the Spirit. And humble ourselves. Put our pride aside. Put our own efforts aside. And when we feel ourselves to be weak, we rejoice in that. Because what does the word say? "For my power is made perfect in weakness." It causes us to humble ourselves before our God and ask for his power and strength to come upon us, acknowledging that we need him because we are weak. And in this, his power is made perfect. We need God's aid through the Holy Spirit to empower us to be able to do anything for his glory. It's not about playing the victim, though. It's not about saying I'm horrible or I'm useless. I'm just kind of a nugget. No. You are precious in God's eyes and worth much to him. After all, Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for you. You were bought by the blood of the Son of God. He paid for you by his blood. But it's about knowing our place before God. Acknowledge that he is the master and we are the servants. That he holds all the power and it's through him that we can do many things. You are not a victim in this world, but you are a victor through Jesus Christ. John chapter 4, verses 46 says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit that dwells in you is greater than he who is in the world, meaning Satan. We cannot stand against Satan on our own. We cannot defeat him by our own strength. But only by the Holy Spirit can we see victory in our life. Through the Spirit, we are made conquerors. Jesus conquered sin and death on our behalf. Paul tells us to live victoriously and to avoid excesses of the flesh. Moody once illustrated this truth this way. "Tell me," Moody said to his audience, "how can I get air out of the glass?" One man said, "Suck it out with a pump." Moody replied, "That would create a vacuum and shatter the glass." After many impossible suggestions, Moody smiled, picked up a pitcher of water, and filled the glass. "There," he said, "all the air is now removed." He then went on to show that victory in the Christian life is not about sucking out a sin here and there, but rather by being filled with the Spirit. We have a great helper in the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit of power. The Bible tells us in Acts that we will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Life in the Spirit is about being filled by the Spirit, being empowered in virtually every aspect of our life so that we can be witnesses in this world. It's about allowing God's Spirit to penetrate into every area of your life. I know I've done this. I know I do this. I know you too have. That you compartmentalize the areas of your life, and there are certain areas where we don't allow God to access. Sometimes at all, sometimes a little bit. But friends, we should be letting God, His Holy Spirit, into every area of our life, every aspect of us, of who we are, and to change and to transform us. We see all these things happening in Acts chapter 2. Let's read verses 1 to 4. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were all sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The promise of the Holy Spirit is fulfilled, and the disciples who are waiting for the Holy Spirit are empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak in other tongues. This is a remarkable sign and wonder to many in Jerusalem on that day. The Bible says in Acts 2:5 that there were people from every nation there, and they heard their native tongue being spoken. And the disciples weren't just speaking random things, but telling them the mighty works of God in their native tongues. These Galileans were speaking multiple tongues. And of course, there were skeptics who were saying that they're simply drunk, which makes no sense at all to what was happening. And that's when Peter, empowered by the Holy Spirit, boldly stands up to address the great multitude, and he preaches a mighty sermon. I'm not going to read the entire sermon this morning because we're running out of time, but I want to read the end of Peter's sermon and what happens in verses 37 to 44 in chapter 2. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. The Holy Spirit convicted the people's hearts of their sin, so much that the word says they were cut to the heart. And they asked, "What should we do?" And that is when Peter tells them the amazing grace and the hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, what an amazing day, Pentecost Day, when the church was born and 3,000 souls were saved on that day. And we're told that the early church devoted themselves to teaching and fellowship. In other words, being discipled. Signs and miracles were being done by the apostles, and there was unity in all things with the early believers. Church, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to empower us to bear testimony of our Savior Jesus Christ. He helps us. He teaches us. He convicts us. The Spirit leads us. The Spirit unites us. The Spirit gives us power. I pray that this is something that we can truly grasp as a greater reality in our lives and in our church. I pray that there would be a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit amongst us. That we would live a more aware life. That the Holy Spirit is in us. And not get distracted. Not let fear and doubt overrule the voice and leading of the Spirit in our lives. But that we would act on it in faith, according to the promises and truth of God's Word. If you agree with me this morning, I want you to stand up. Awesome. I was afraid no one would stand up. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Who here wants a fresh outpouring of the Spirit? Who desires that? Hallelujah. Let's ask God for it. Let's ask God for a fresh, new outpouring of His Spirit amongst us, even here this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.